I just learned this year why crystals are useful and important and what you might do with them when you're using them in your electronics builds. And so the idea of using some naturally occurring crystals instead of ones that were produced in a crystal factory is really neat. You know, it's something that you would you'd have to be a little bit weird.
WGXC 90.7 servicing Accra, Catskill, and Hudson, Columbia, and Greene County. Woo! Woo! Thank you, Matt, for the help.
Listening to the test site of Acoustic Commons, available at wavefarm.org/listen or on any wgxc.org webpage if you click on the listen button. The test site of Acoustic Commons is a microphone in the Wavefarm woods that lets you overhear the sounds of nature, the live weather on the radio at wavefarm.org/listen, or click on any WGXC.org webpage. Click on the listen button to hear the sounds in the woods at Wave Farm through the test site of Acoustic Commons.
Tune in to all sorts of live radio shows every Sunday on WGXC 90.7 FM, beginning at 8 a.m., where the Reverend Kim Singletary is live with There's a Bright Side Somewhere from Columbia County, every Sunday at 8 a.m. Then at 9 a.m., Janessa Hope McKay brings you a slap of reality live from the WGXC studio in Hudson in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. She's playing her top music pick and talking about her hot topics of the week until 11 a.m. At 1 p.m., every Sunday, DJ Neva Wartell is live with music for the masses from Catskill, with sounds from around the world. At 4 p.m. every Sunday, Carlene Murphy and Azuka Legba are live with the Lile Latan version of the WGXC afternoon show until 6 p.m. And every Sunday night, Tony Fallon is live with the Irish show at 8 p.m. on the radio from Acre on 90.7 WGXC.
Are you tired of your flying saucer always breaking down on your way to Mars?
Wish you could get more bang for your whoopee at the gas pump?
Well, here at Flying Saucer Mart, we have the perfect flying saucer for you.
It goes as fast as light. It comes in a variety of colors and only costs you 75 whoopee.
Come down to 375 Bionic Ave in Pluto City and fly home with a new used flying saucer today.
Wave Farm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Karen Werner of Montague, Massachusetts. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You're listening to Wireless Reconnaissance, Broadcast Surveillance, Transmission Art, and more Saturdays on WGXC 90.7 FM Creative Community Radio.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. The Poughkeepsie Journal reports that New York announced 52 approved cannabis growing licenses April 14th, with several local farmers included. There was one licensee in Albany County, three in Columbia County, six in Dutchess County, four in Schoharie County, one in Delaware County, and two in Ulster County. Aeterna Cannabis, LLC, Claverick Farms, LLC, and Fatnell, LLC were the three growers authorized in Columbia County by the State Cannabis Control Board. Alan Gandelman, a Cortland-based hemp grower and president of the New York Cannabis Growers and Processors Association, said announcing the first cannabis growers now will allow spring planting and an October harvest. Gandelman said, and I quote, "We have a narrow window here. Most people are planting cannabis in our area around May and June, so we're pretty much there," end quote. Farmers are limited to a combination of up to 1 acre of flowering canopy outdoors or a little more than half that space in a greenhouse. Governor Kathy Hochul said in a press release, and I quote, "New York farms have been the backbone of our state's economy since before the American Revolution, and now New York's farms will be the center of the most equitable cannabis industry in the nation," end quote. Read more about this story in the Poughkeepsie Journal. Andrea Mako reports in Porcupine Soup that there will be yet another vote on whether the town of Cairo has a recycling center April 20th. The town's recycling center in the Angelo Cana Town Park was closed in October 2020 by the unanimous vote of the board. The board said at the time that, and I quote, Greene County Solid Waste Department noted that the Cairo recycling dumpsters had to be dumped into the normal domestic garbage stream due to contamination by unrecyclable materials, end quote. So they stopped the recycling theater. The board also cited garbage strewn near the facility and staff harassment. At a meeting earlier this month, the board voted against reopening the recycling center. Board member Tim Powers questioned why Cairo should recycle. He said, and I quote, my question is, why are we reopening it, end quote. Board member Mary Jo Cords answered, and I quote, we had a lot of people come to town board meetings and say that they wanted the recycling center open, end quote. Then Deputy Town Supervisor Cords and Councilperson Michael Flaherty voted in favor of reopening the facility, but Councilperson Tim Powers voted against, and three votes of the board's total of five members is needed to pass a motion in Cairo. Town Supervisor Jason Watts and Councilperson Deborah Bogans were absent, but that is not expected to be the case April 20th, when Watts seems to be the third vote needed to open the facility. Watts said, and I quote, I won't stop bringing it up. I want it back, end quote. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. New York State on April 14th extended its ban on all live fowl shows and exhibitions in the state to, and I quote, all fowl auctions and other events for the purchase, sale, swap, or trade of fowl, end quote. Currently, 26 states are dealing with the highly pathogenic avian influenza. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Governor Kathy Hochul's $220 billion budget was signed into law this week, and clean energy advocates say it includes a strong commitment to addressing climate change in the state. The budget requires all new school bus purchases to be zero emission by 2027, and that all school buses in use be zero emission by 2035. New York is the first state in the country to enact this requirement. Deb Peck Kelleher of Alliance for Clean Energy New York says it's a great win, both for children and the environment.
Diesel buses are one of the large causes of particulate matter pollution, and our school children now are facing significant increase in asthma. Removing just one of these sources of diesel pollution is just going to be a great public health success.
The budget provides $500 million through the Environmental Bond Act to support school districts in purchasing zero-emission buses and related infrastructure, including charging stations. However, Peck Kelleher says she was disappointed to see the governor's energy efficiency package cut from the budget. It would have strengthened the state's building code for new construction and appliance efficiency standards. Hochul's budget also includes $25 billion to create and preserve 100,000 affordable homes and electrify 50,000 homes. Peck Kelleher says electrifying homes will not only reduce fossil fuel emissions, but save families money.
For those areas of our state that are facing significant energy costs, fossil fuel costs have just risen dramatically in the last couple months. And being able to weatherize those homes, they reduce costs right away once that happens.
New York leads the nation in premature deaths resulting from air pollution caused by burning fossil fuels for heating, hot water, and cooking. The governor has committed to getting 2 million homes in the state electrified or electric ready by 2030. I'm Emily Scott with New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Bloomberg News reports that AT&T's DirecTV will drop the propaganda channel One American News Network this week, while local outlet Mid-Hudson Cable continues to include the channel. Mid-Hudson Cable, based in Catskill, added the network last year and another from owner Herring Networks Incorporated as a lifestyle channel, AWE, that stands for A Wealth of Entertainment. Mid-Hudson Cable already carries Newsmax, another propaganda network masquerading as a news channel, and Fox News, where a judge ruled recently that Tucker Carlson's show could not be considered news. OAN, though, has been repeatedly lying about who won the 2020 presidential election, about how serious the COVID-19 pandemic is, and now about Russia's war in Ukraine. Here is one of OAN's hosts recently lying about Russia on air.
So, what's the most recent story cooked up by the American Pravda? Well, it turns out that the Russians, Democrats' favorite adversary, blew up a hospital, killing several people, including a child. Perhaps war crimes are being committed. Perhaps civilians are being murdered, but perhaps they aren't.
Confront COVID's racial and class disparities with Medicare for All. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan in our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. We're done with COVID, but COVID is not done with us. The subvariant of Omicron, dubbed BA.2, is causing spikes in infections, hospitalizations, deaths, and lockdowns in different parts of the world. In the United States, the statistics have been promising, but cases have been rising enough to prompt the CDC on Wednesday to extend the national mask mandate for travel hubs and public transit, including planes, for an additional 2 weeks until May 3rd, and also extended the national public health emergency determination for an additional 90 days. While BA.2 creates uncertainty in the course of the pandemic, one fact has become increasingly clear. COVID-19 has exposed significant disparities in how healthcare is delivered and accessed in our society. In the initial months of the pandemic in early 2020, Black Americans were 3 times more likely than whites to contract COVID-19 and to require hospitalization, and twice as likely to die of the disease. The Poor People's Campaign summarized in its recent Poor People's Pandemic Report, quote, "The pandemic exacerbated pre-existing social and economic disparities that have long festered in the U.S., including a deeply divided society, widespread poverty, a weak social safety net, inadequate living conditions, and a lack of trust in science that predated COVID-19, unquote. These dysfunctions and inequity won't be overcome until everyone, regardless of who they are or where they're from, are guaranteed health care as a fundamental right. One of the most compelling speakers on the subject of universal health care is no longer able to physically speak at all. Activist Addie Barkin was diagnosed with terminal ALS in 2016. He uses a system that translates his eye movements into spoken words.
It's shameful that in the richest country in the world, we choose to inflict so much suffering.
Addie Barkin said, testifying remotely before a recent House committee hearing on Medicare for All.
The pandemic has revealed and exacerbated the existing inequalities in our profit-driven healthcare system. It has hit hardest on disabled people, poor people, Black, Latino, and Indigenous people, and especially people who live at the intersections of these categories. And 1 out of 3 COVID-19 deaths in the U.S. are related to gaps in health insurance. Nearly 1 million Americans have already died from the coronavirus. How much more is necessary to shock our legislators into action?
Medicare for All is a proposed reform of the U.S. healthcare system that would take the popular Medicare health insurance program, currently available to citizens and permanent residents 65 years of age and older, and extend eligibility to all. Medicare is a form of single-payer healthcare in which the government itself does not provide medical services, but makes the payments on behalf of those who it covers. Thus, hospitals, doctor's offices, pharmacies, and the like all remain as they are. The for-profit health insurance companies, however, are removed from the equation, saving over $500 billion per year. That's $500 billion per year, as estimated in a report by Public Citizen. Medicare for All also guarantees that no one would be left uninsured. The Kaiser Family Foundation estimates the current number of uninsured people in the U.S. at around 30 million.
when this pandemic started, there was an awareness that our healthcare system was not going to perform well with 30 million uninsured, with far more underinsured.
That's Dr. Adam Gaffney of Harvard Medical School speaking on Democracy Now! He co-authored a study that showed uninsured people are more likely to contract COVID-19.
We need to be expanding our public health infrastructure to tackle not only the pandemic of the present, but the pandemics of the future, to say nothing of the other health threats that face us in the years to come, like the impact of climate change and much more.
The pandemic has hit Black Americans particularly hard. In a new report, The State of Black America and COVID-19 by the Black Coalition Against COVID, the Yale School of Medicine, the Morehouse School of Medicine, and others, Yale's Dr. Marcella Nunez-Smith writes, in January of 2022, rates of COVID-19 hospitalization for Black Americans were the highest they've been since the pandemic start. Dr. Oni Blackstock, an African-American primary care and HIV physician, founder of Health Justice, said on the Democracy Now! NewsHour,
the reality is that we are all interconnected, and that, if the Black community has, access to care, to safety measures, that actually is something that can protect all of us.
I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
And now, here is your WGXE weather update. Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, showers mainly after 2 p.m. with a temperature high near 58 degrees. More showers Saturday night, mainly before 8 p.m. with a temperature low of around 35. And on Easter Sunday, mostly sunny with a temperature high near 46 degrees. And Sunday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 33 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXE. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia counties.
WGXE is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Nora E. Edelman of Athens, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXE sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXE.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXE believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXE is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
Overture, curtain lights, this is it, the night of nights. No more rehearsing and nursing a part, we know every card by heart. Overture, curtain lights, this is it, we'll hit the heights, and oh what heights we'll hit. On with the show, this is it.
Papa, or he'll get You gotta try something.
You got a job at the radio station?
Oh, great, that place. It's dark and dirty and has, like, what, those three weirdos who work there?
This is Tom Rowe with Wave Farm with the WGXC Radio News, daily update on what's going on in broadcast news. Matthew Iglesias reports for Bloomberg that in September 2020, political scientist David Brookman of the University of California at Berkeley and Joshua Kalla of Yale paid viewers of Fox News to watch CNN for a month and found the change altered their political views. Folks switching from Fox to CNN were then surveyed and were found to be 5 percentage points more likely to believe that people suffer from long COVID-19 and 6 points more likely to believe that many foreign countries did a better job than America in controlling the virus. Those paid to watch CNN instead of Fox were 7 points more likely to support voting by mail than the regular Fox viewing control group. And those paid to watch CNN instead of Fox News were 13 points less likely to agree that if Biden were elected, quote, we'll see many more police get shot by Black Lives Matter activists, unquote, than the regular Fox News viewers. A 7-point increase in supporting voting by mail may seem like a lot, but only 24% of the CNN switchers in total said they supported voting by mail. Of course, the viewers only watched CNN for 1 month, so there could have been greater deviations if the channel stayed changed. Read more about this story at Bloomberg News. WBEZ reports that a Chicago man who ran an AM pirate radio station while in high school in Milwaukee during the Vietnam War now is running an FM pirate radio station in Chicago, playing audio noir radio dramas from the 1940s. Bill, last name only to avoid the wrath of the Federal Communications Commission, has a 50-watt transmitter in his upstairs apartment with an antenna on the roof. Quote, people on the lakefront up in the high-rises can hear it, unquote, said Bill. Quote, and they used to listen at Lane Tech somewhere on an upper floor. So it gets out a little ways, but not that far, unquote. The clandestine DJ plays old audio dramas not because of his love for old-time radio, but because he suffers from insomnia, and the old radio plays help put him to sleep. In 2006, he started an internet station, audionoir.com, and now the former audio engineer simulcast on 87.9 FM. Quote, I already had equipment, unquote, said Bill, 68. Quote, and I thought, well, I've got nothing else to do with this stuff. I'll transmit this. I guess I do enjoy being the bad boy nerd broadcasting illegally, unquote. His high school AM station got a visit from the Federal Communications Commission officials to his parents' home. Later in college in Wisconsin, Bill helped found WORT in Madison. That background has him currently broadcasting on a frequency that is not being used in that part of Chicago. Bill says he will stop his FM transmissions if the FCC shuts him down, but he would not mind more pirate broadcasters in Chicago. Quote, I think it would be exciting. You would have a lot of different content, from religious to political to old-time radio to music, unquote, he said. Read more about this story at the WBEZ website. There has been much reporting about the propaganda posing as news that is being broadcast to the Russian people about the invasion of Ukraine. Russian journalists can't use the word war and instead must call it a special military operation. The war crimes of Russian soldiers are both actually being committed by the Ukrainians and also are actors playing roles rather than dead bodies, according to Russian broadcast hosts. But there has not been as much reported about the Russian propaganda being broadcast on airwaves in the United States. Russian propaganda is a bit harder to find on U.S. television and radio since the war began, but it is still there. Tucker Carlson continues to parrot Russian talking points on his Fox News show. RT, the English-language news network based in Moscow and funded by the Kremlin, was dropped from YouTube and American cable franchises in early March as the war began. Most of the content from RT America seems to have been erased from the Internet since the start of the invasion February 24th. But there are still 5 outlets of Radio Sputnik in the United States right now, airing content produced in Moscow and Washington under the Russian government's supervision. One is WZHF, 1390 AM, broadcasting near Washington, D.C. The station is now forced to interrupt its programming of talk every hour to air a disclaimer. Quote, this radio programming is distributed by RM Broadcasting on behalf of the Federal State Unitary Enterprise Raisa Segodna International Information Agency, Moscow, Russia. Additional information is available at the Department of Justice, Washington, D.C., unquote. The disclaimer is because of a Federal Communications Commission rule that went into effect March 15th. The rule was in the works long before the war. forcing U.S. broadcasters to disclose any programming provided by foreign governmental entities. Rossiya Segnoya means Russia Today, the same Kremlin-controlled media agency that directed RT and RT America. The European Union banned Radio Sputnik after Russia invaded Ukraine. KCXL in Liberty, Missouri is another station airing Radio Sputnik programming, and Peter Chartel, who runs the station, says he and his wife are being accused of treason. He argues that he's promoting free speech by airing falsehoods about Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Chartel is paid $5,000 a month to air the propaganda near Kansas City. The National Association of Broadcasters on March 1st called on station owners to stop carrying Russian state-sponsored programming. Quote, while the First Amendment protects freedom of speech, it does not prevent private actors from exercising sound moral judgment, unquote, NAB Chief Executive Curtis Leggett said in a statement. Quote, our nation must stand fully united against misinformation and for freedom and democracy across the globe. Randy J. Stone reports in Radio World that the Federal Communications Commission is thinking about reinventing the emergency alert system. Listeners mostly hear tests of the emergency alert system on televisions and radios that open with a long, static-filled tone and say that, quote, in the event of an actual emergency, unquote, important information would be relayed. The system is mostly used as a warning for hazardous weather events, interrupting programming on all stations in the affected area. The system began in 1997, primarily to allow the President of the United States to address the country via all radio and television stations in the event of a national emergency, but has never been used for anything other than regional weather warnings. The emergency messages come in four parts: a digitally encoded specific area messaging and coding header, an attention signal, an audio announcement, and a digitally encoded end of message marker. So while listeners only understand the words or messages, the computers are hearing other information. Some stations in each market get the initial warning message, and the other stations get the message from the station through digital codes. Now, though, many Americans do not get all their immediate information from over-the-air transmissions. Many hear news from online digital sources. A second system, the Common Alerting Protocol, has been set up for digital sources, and the FCC is now asking broadcasters if they can all switch to that system and integrate it somehow into analog radio and television. This is all behind the scenes debate, and whatever the result will probably sound the same to listeners and viewers in the future. If the mandate for a messaging system remains, it might not, since it is not really needed for national emergency when every channel would be covering every moment of a president's words without any mandate. Paul Revoir reports for the Daily Mail that the British Broadcasting Corporation has another so-called slow radio production in the works that is a field recording reality show. Honey, A Day in the Life of a Dog will air in July on the BBC Radio 3, using, quote, carefully placed, unquote, microphones so that, quote, the essence of honey is captured as we are gently enveloped in the noises she both makes and hears, unquote. Honey is a fox red Labrador. The BBC recently began airing what they call slow television, which has included a BBC 4 show of a two-hour bus ride through Yorkshire and a canal journey on a narrow boat. For what they call slow radio, the BBC's Radio 3 has aired a show on the, quote, all-consuming silence, unquote, of a walk along the coast of Greenland and Benedictine monks in the, quote, silence of the monastery, unquote. On Saturday, April 30th, Waveform airs some slow radio on WGXC with SoundCamp's ninth iteration of Reveille, a collective production by streamers at listening points around the earth, starting on the morning of Saturday 30th, of April in South London near the Greenwich Meridian. The broadcast will pick up feeds one by one, tracking the sunrise west from microphone to microphone following daybreak around the earth for 24 hours. This has been the Wave Farm Radio News. Go to wavefarm.org for more information. Next, here is a recording from the band Stars Like Fleas from their 2008 album Early Riser. It was recorded live at Wave Farm. See if you can hear the Green County Birds singing along.